Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks, and welcome to Radio for Your Mind. You know what amazes me is that we just keep gaining a bigger and bigger and bigger listening audience. And I truly do not believe it's because I'm some, you know, pompous guru on the radio show. I think it's because we just keep getting greater and greater authors. You know, I've got Dondi Scamanci is going to be back. We've got a brand new item of hers that she's sending in a training. I'm looking forward to it. I'm getting the rest of the paperwork back to her. We're going to be sharing, folks, this type of stuff indefinitely. You know, here we are today. We're focusing in here on Chet Holmes, the ultimate sales machine. Turbocharge your business with focus on 12 key strategies. And we're on chapter 8. If you've not been with this or you haven't listened to all of them, you can download these at iTunes. You can listen to the archives. You know, this is powerful. This is not your foo-foo motivational type of book. This is a down and dirty nuts and bolts training book. And if anybody tells you that sales does not play in to your business, then they're wrong. I was at breakfast this morning with a kid that's my son's age, Dalton's age, and we were chatting because we have a similar, really a similar life, and we talked about this. He's in the photography and he's into the production side of things. And I said, you got to remember, you constantly have to be selling yourself. You've got to brand yourself as the authority. That's what Chet works with in this book. Chapter 8, The Eyes Have It, Attract and Close More Buyers, listen to this, by using more compelling visuals, plus the biggest mistake everybody makes when presenting. Now, what you can't beat this. See, most of us, we think that content is king. And in the old days before good graphics and all that stuff, probably content was it. But now, less is more, especially if you're on the internet. You're not going to find this in Chet's book. This is Troy talking from being on the internet since its inception, basically, in 95 and being in and around computers. I have seen what has happened. I've seen the way content changed to graphics. We went from text messaging to email messaging to HTML messaging. Went from what most people know as social networking today started out in the bulletin boards where all it was text. Well, you know what? Graphics have it. And the greatest industries out there that show the graphics, that portray their story with pictures, happens to be the life insurance industry. Now, that's something to think about. You want to get some good marketing strategies and tips? Go look at life insurance companies. Matter of fact, go look for some publicly traded ones. Get their annual reports. You'd be amazed how many pictures are in there. See, this is the kicker here. Listen to what Chet writes in this. This is powerful. We human beings remember 20% of what we hear, 30% of what we see, but 50% of what we both see and hear. Obviously, your communication impact nearly triples when using visual aids over not using them. Information that is visually illustrated and communicated has a dramatic and direct impact on the brain. This is why guys like John Maxwell and Dondi Scamanci, when they write their books, when they're doing their speeches, are able to create stories. Now let's stop for a minute and think back. One of my greatest heroes in America is Ronald Reagan. Now let's not get into ideologies and politics. Think back to where he got started. The GE Radio Theater. Ron was able to get on there and create these compelling dramas. Well, guess what? That's what you have to do. Except today we have it easier because we have all kinds of different visual aids. If you guys hang out with me at all on the internet, you know I use video more than I do anything. I am not a I can write. I can write very well. But when it comes to spell checking and all that, sometimes my fingers get ahead of my brain. And I have to use editors. I've got to use spell check and all that stuff. When I'm shooting my video, I can be real. I can be authentic. I can be me. And then I can just write it down below and people see it. You can do this type of stuff. See, the eyeballs have it. Now, you may be saying, Troy, that's cool if you're on the internet, but what about those of us that are going business to business? We're trying to make sales. Well, there's a variety of ways that you can use it. You can do that you can use it. Chet may or may not have talked about as we move forward. But here's what you can do. You can get a little netbook with you. You can get a little iPod, or what you call iPhone or smartphone, an Evo from Sprint. Have your presentation right down there. Then everybody can see it. You can see it. They can see it. Everybody will see it. See, that's another way to make this thing really work, make it look good. And that's a thought. Listen to what Chet writes here. He says 85% of the information taken into the brain enters through the eyes. The largest part of the brain is set aside just to deal with information taken in visually. He says, in my seminars, I'll ask folks, how many images do you think the eye can process in a single glance? People will yell out 20 or 200. Then the next slide, I show an aerial shot of a city skyline with millions of images. Obviously, the eye can take in a lot more than 20 images in a single glance. With the eyes playing a significant role in the communication process, you'd be crazy not to use visuals every chance you get. Folks, that is absolutely correct. Why is it that you think, now, ladies, please forgive me and understand why I'm using this as an example. But why do you think that men for the last 30 years have said, honey, I wasn't looking at the pictures in Playboy, I was reading the articles. See, everybody knows it's pictures. Now, the old adage that sex sells is kind of, you know, it's still there, but it's kind of going by the wayside. People are looking for authenticity. They're looking for transparency. When you use visual aids that share about your company, the good, the bad, the indifferent, when you utilize Chet's strategies in here and you share with visual aids how your company, your product, your service, or you as the brand can make a difference in people's lives, then the sky's the limit. Listen to what else he says. This is great. He says, if you ignore the power of incorporating a visual component into your sales and marketing process, you may as well deliver it in a closet. Failure to stimulate the eyes and the brains, failure to stimulate the eyes tunes out the brain. Now, I'm gonna digress again. This has nothing to do with sales. This has to do with relationships. Men, if you want your woman to start looking at you again like she did on your honeymoon night, then why don't you get rid of the pot belly like I'm doing, get rid of the beer, get rid of the wife beater sloppy t-shirts, and start dressing like a little stud again. Ladies, same thing to you. Instead of just going to bed in your husband's old t-shirt, why don't you go out today and buy a nice little lingerie thing to wear to bed? Just maybe you can spark a little new romance. See, it's all about sales. It's all about the eyes. The eyes are the gateway to the brain. The heart is the gateway to the soul. Not going to go metaphysical, spiritual on you. Just listen to me a second. When you can penetrate the heart of a person, you've gained a customer for life. But before you do that, you have to use the eyes to penetrate the brain to connect to the heart. See, this is what gets this is all connected. It's amazing how you look at this thing. Listen to this. As stated in the previous chapter section on radio advertising, the brain can take in information at 400 to 500 words per minute, yet people speak at only 125 words per minute. Wow. See, we can take in a lot more than we are given in a normal conversation or even a lecture if we stay present. See, the visual aids keep people present to what's being said. Now, here's something that I myself and my team that we focus on, and this is called color. And this is great. Chet writes this, and I think you'll find this important today. There are numerous studies on the impact of using color over black and white in your communication. Colors attract the eyes and help set the mood of your presentation. Each color has a different effect on the viewer. While red is the color that draws the eyes the most, it may not be the color you want to use for everything. Red denotes passion, but it also is a color for danger, for blood, for being in the red on your balance sheet. Blue says tried and true. but it also means cool and refreshing. You'll note that most all bottled water companies use blue, as it is the color of our oceans. Orange says value. Think Howard Johnson's or Home Depot. They use orange because study shows it denotes good value. Green is the color of money, but it's also the color of fresh greens in a garden. It also is the color of envy, so you got to be careful there. But it does show that color has impact. Think about what colors you want to use. Folks, one of the things that I see constantly is the overuse of red. Matter of fact, I've got a company we're going to be doing a review on that overused red in their presentation. I mentioned it to them. They did not make that change. I believe they should have. My opinion, but a professional opinion. You'll also find if you're doing internet marketing that certain colors come together on your website, certain colors will not work. You have to remember this. This is very important. This has something to do with everything. The visual aids, the PowerPoints, the storyboards, the flip charts, the Camtasia studios, they keep your audience engaged in your presentation. It is a must. If you don't use this, if you're not focused on this, you will not be able to succeed to the level that you want to succeed. Let's look at some rules that Chet puts in this book that are there. You've probably heard them a million times, but they're worth repeating. So get out your pen and paper. The rules of effective presenting, number one, the KISS rule. Keep it simple, stupid. That's the original. I still love it better than anything else. It needs to be easy to follow. Visual aids will allow you to do this. Let me use a company as an example. Ragtag Army of Termites worked for A.L. Williams in 1977. They hardly had any visual aids to work with. They had heart, they had soul, they had passion. Fast forward to that company, 2010. Company called Primerica Financial Services, same company, new name, publicly traded, billion-dollar business, have some of the best presentations under the sun. They are the largest single life insurer in the world. Over the years, they have perfected their presentation. Keep it simple. Rule number two, K-I-F-P, KIFP, keep it fast-paced. K-I-F-P, keep it fast-paced. Prospects, this is what Chet writes. Prospects will get bored if you spend too much time on one page. You should be covering 2 to 3 panels a minute. Don't just show one and stand there and talk for 10 minutes. Keep the presentation moving. This should be a new point coming up visually every 15 seconds or so. Very powerful. This is not about you. This is about the people that you are serving. This is the difference. The companies that utilize, the Chet Holmes especially, but the stuff that we share, see success in their companies. Companies that want to try to do it their own way. They don't go and look at what works today, not what worked in the 19th century or the 20th century, but in the 21st century, are the companies that are succeeding, the Starbucks, the Apple computers. You know, when you look at this, matter of fact, an old company, Discovery Toys, is making a comeback because they're doing some of this new stuff. Rule three, use wow, facts and statistics. You literally want your client to say, wow, I did not know that. And that's going to, I mean, that shows they got value. Factual information at the beginning of any presentation creates a sense of credibility that carries over even into the sales portion of the presentation. Here's two examples that he gives. Now, you can't see the visuals unless you bought the book. We're on page 159. It says, breast cancer is the leading cause of death for women between the ages of 40 and 55. 55 years ago, there was a 1 in 20 risk. Today, there's 1 in 8. Second shows, since 1940, when the chemical age was drawn, breast cancer deaths have risen steadily by 1% a year in the United States. That's some facts. You just got the attention of what's going on. Here's the third one, he says. The loss of sperm fertility is a problem worldwide, but is much worse in the United States than anywhere else. Now, if you're doing something on that's going to be pretty powerful. You look at that and you think, wow. See, you got to have statistics. Number four, rule number four, build in opportunities for stories. Stories sell. Facts, or stories tell, facts sell. You put the facts in, and now you tell the stories. See, now you've combined the both. You've got the emotional and the logical part of the brain. The nervous system now is sending those bursts of energy into the brain, telling it exactly why it should be acting on your call to action. When it's done right, the sky's the limit. Listen to this. Well-told stories increase recall by another 26% over making a point without a story to illustrate it. People love stories. When I'm selling advertising in a magazine, I try to get to a bigger advertiser. I meet with the director of marketing and I tell a story. You ever wonder why pastors are always good storytellers? Do you realize that Jesus Christ, obviously my Lord and Savior, but let's just look at the historical figure for a minute. When you look at Jesus Christ, you hear people talk about the parables and the stories that he told. Stories sell. Facts tell. That's how you got to look at that. So if you're telling the facts first, and then you tell the stories, you're going to make the sale. See, this is a key. Rule number five. Your presentation should be curiosity-driven. Now, this is something that just burns my hide, to just put it bluntly. Most people in their presentation, they're not building curiosity. They're pitching something. Nobody, we learned this back in the 80s. I don't know why the bulk of network marketing has not learned this yet. Nobody wants to be pitched anymore. And with the age of social networking, pitching, we call it spamming. Nobody wants that. You don't do that. Your presentation has to be curiosity-driven. Unfold the information in a way that keeps your prospect curious. Give them the facts first. Follow through with an explanation. Always continuing to pre-sell in the rest of the presentation. You're telling stories. You're giving examples. You're building up the curiosity. Gosh, you know, now that I hear myself talk, this is like a great novel, a great adventure, a great romance story, isn't it? Do you ever realize that the epic adventures in life, that's really what a sales presentation is about? You won't find that in Chet Holmes' book. That's in Troy's rendition. But that's what it is. Number six, think of each headline as a valuable piece of real estate. See, that your headlines, your titles, whatever you want, that has to be so impacting on each slide that the prospect is drawn to those pictures and they're listening. Their brain waves are saying, okay, we got to be open up to the logical side of this. We got to listen to what is being said by the presenter. We got to read the words on the slide. We got to grab this. 15 seconds, the brain can snapshot it, pop it into the brain. The nervous system starts disseminating all those bits of information, and they're coming to the conclusion so that by the end of the presentation, they will make a decision one way or the other. I am a firm believer if you go on a presentation and it's an informational, educational-based presentation, at the end of the very first presentation, you will not hear, if you've done your job right, you will not hear the word no. One of two things will take place. They will either say yes because they are one of the 3% that are ready to buy, or they will say, I would like some more information based on the questions that I now have about my specific situation. That's the way it works. Think of each headline as a valuable piece of real estate. Number seven, be confident but not obnoxious. Man, nobody likes a narcissistic, obnoxious used car salesman like you see in the movie Used Cars. You got to be confident. You got to be a student of your industry. Now, listen, this is important, guys. I'm a student of direct selling. That is my industry. If you're listening to this radio show today, you're going to be in a direct selling company. You're going to own a brick and mortar company. You're going to be in what's called party plan, network. You're going to be in some business. But if you're inside of my industry called direct selling and you happen to be with Zango, then you don't necessarily need to be a student of direct selling. You need to be a student of Zango. You need to be a student of the functional health beverage niche. If you're in Global Verge, you need to be a student of the wireless niche. If you're in prepaid legal or primary care, you need to be in the insurance niche. If you're in Keller Williams, you need to be in the real estate niche. You've got to be a student of the niche that you're working in. And number 8, this is the most powerful rule that Chet's given us. Focus on them, not you. Remember what I say. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Your whole presentation should be focused on your clients, your prospects, your customers. Now, in the next 8 minutes, I want to share the 8 common mistakes that presenters make. Write these down. These are important. Number 1, don't thank the prospects for their time or apologizing for taking it. You are giving them something of value. They should be thanking you. I'm not trying to be cocky. I'm telling you, this is important. Do not thank them. Hey, thank you for your time today. That you don't do that. Don't apologize for taking their time. There's no reason for that. You need to make sure that you are focused. If you did a good job, then they will thank you. You won't have to thank them. Number 2, presenting with your hands in your pocket. When I'm doing the radio shows, I am standing up. My hands are going through the air. If you've ever seen me on stage, it's the same way. The stage, very seldom do I wear shoes. I'm known as the beach bum. I usually, no matter if I'm in Tommy Bahamas or not, I don't wear shoes. It's my unique personal proposition. People remember me for that. You need to do the same thing. Use your hands. Be animated. Get into it. Let them know what you care, that you love this. Number 3, presenting in a setting position. Unless you're John Maxwell and you're teaching a class, unless you're Rick Warren and you're sitting back and relaxing and having a fireside chat, don't you dare present from a seated position. That will not work ever. You cannot do that. Number 4, being led around by your nose. Listen to this. If the prospect asks a question in the middle of your presentation, is to interrupt what you're saying and answer it right then and there. Don't do that. You tell them, you know what, hold that question at the end of the presentation. We're going to cover that. That plain and simple. You control the presentation, not the other way around. Number 5, letting the materials upstage or guide you. See, listen to what Chet says. Most sales people cling to the presentation as if it would make the sale. The presentation is never going to make the sale. You are. Visual aids are just that, aids. You're the presenter. Doesn't matter where you're at. You need to be presenting. You need to be reading the crowd. If you're halfway through your presentation and you can tell they got your points, don't wait till the end of the presentation and say, can I have your money? Make the close. Always be closing, ABC. Doesn't mean you're being pushy, obnoxious, or any of that, but you're always closing. It's the way it goes. Number 6, keep it totally serious. This is not a speech. This is not a seminar. This is a presentation. Don't make comedy. Don't make light of serious situations. If you're in internet security, information security breaches, identity theft, don't make light of that. Be serious about that. If you're out there selling Pampered Chef, yes, it's a fun, uplifting deal, but be serious about how well the products are going to come out. This is important, folks. It's terribly important. This is your livelihood. Number seven, failing to practice the presentation each and every time before you give it. Every time you give a presentation, you're giving it to a different crowd of people, sometimes different niches, sometimes different wants and needs. If you're a student, then you understand that that presentation has to be honed down for those individuals. It's imperative. It's got to be exciting. It's got to be fast-winded. You got to make dynamic and compelling stories. You got to share the experience. You've got to know the material inside and out. You got to draw some conclusions for your audience. Don't leave it up to them. Don't read your bullet points mindlessly. Focus in on what's important and develop the pattern that's going to cover between the slides as they're coming up. Focus heavy duty. Focus straightforward. Man, this is huge, folks. You have to do it right. Number eight, having no idea what comes next in the presentation. Look, listen now. I don't know how many times the computer is working great, and all of a sudden electricity goes out. You better know that presentation. You better know what comes next. You better be ready to fire it up. That's what it's going to take for you to kick butt and kick butt in a big way. This is your livelihood. This isn't about Troy talking. This isn't about Chet Holmes writing a book. This is about what are you going to do to build it and build it right. You need to go buy Chet's book. I cannot do this. I am no Chet Holmes. You need to go buy The Ultimate Sales Machine, Turbocharge Your Business with Relentless Focus. Tomorrow, number nine, the nitty-gritty of getting the best buyers, a step-by-step, day-by-day tactics to landing your dream clients. Gosh, I have fun doing these radio shows. There's so much information. Thank you for your emails and your comments that come in. You know, continue to share with us different books, different authors that you want us to cover, because this is what we live for, is to serve you, to serve our clients, to serve the people that we come in contact with. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. Be back here with us tomorrow on Radio for Your Mind as we start into Chapter 9 of The Ultimate Sales Machine. We'll see you at the top. Bye now.